HR leaders, what's on your mind these days? Is it AI? Is it the economy? The talent market? Remote work? Retention? DEI? Pay transparency? New laws? Our 2024 Workplace Trends Report outlines how HR leaders are thinking about these challenges and what they believe will help their organizations overcome them. Want to find out what they said? Head on over to peoplemanagingpeople.com/workplacetrends2024 and download the report to find out.
I recall sitting around the table in an executive meeting talking about planning in case there was some sort of crisis, a flood, fire, or economic shutdown. The conversation ended with, well, we have a lot of money in the bank to pay people for a while, so I guess we'll be fine. Is this your approach to a crisis? Just throw money at it, ignore it, pretend your organization is untouchable? In this episode, I will dig into what is crisis management? Why is it important to have a plan and plan for the unpredictable? And what is the outline for a crisis management plan? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Tim Reitzma, the resident host of People Managing People. Welcome to the podcast. We're People Managing People, and we want to lead and manage better. We're owners, founders, entrepreneurs. We're middle managers. We're team leaders. We're managing people, and yes, we do human resources. But we're not HR, at least not in the traditional sense. We're on a mission to help people lead and manage their teams and organizations more effectively. So if you want to lead and manage better, if you want to become a better organizational leader and more effective people manager, then join us. Keep listening to the podcast to find the tips, tricks, and tools you need to recruit, retain, manage, and lead your people and organization more effectively. And while listening to the show, please subscribe and join our mailing list on peoplemanagingpeople.com to stay up to date with all that's going on. Mike Gibbons, co-founder of Culture Assassins Media Company and a previous GM in a division of a Fortune 500 company, has led through a few crises in his career, navigating component shortages due to an earthquake to rebuilding an executive team. He's a wealth of knowledge to share on today's topic. He's also a contributor to People Managing People and has written a few articles, Human Resources in Crisis Management, What HR Managers Should Do being one of them. So welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Tim. Nice to be here.
Yeah. First things first, I'd love to introduce our listeners to our guests in a little bit of a different way. So I came up with five questions, kind of a rapid fire Q&A. And so all I ask is your answers are, clear and brief. So let's see if we can do this.
Do they need to be honest as well?
That's up to you. I'll leave that up to you. I think our next podcast will be on honesty and trust.
So exactly. We'll see. There you go. Okay. Well, in the effort of building that honesty or that trust, I will be honest. So shoot. Go ahead.
All right. So first question.
Yes.
What is one thing that excites you around people management?
I think probably just understanding what people do and learning from them, right? So I think that the particular style of people management that I've always ascribed to is probably more along the lines of servant leadership. And so, yeah, just learning from people and benefiting from the wealth of their knowledge.
That's great. Next question.
Yes.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, Tiger Tail. It's the black licorice and orange one. It's a weird one. My family just don't understand why, but I love it. It's so good.
Wow, that brought me back to the 80s.
Exactly.
What book are you currently reading and why?
I am reading, I'm not a big business book person. I'm more science fiction fantasy, and I am reading a book called The Last Emperox, and it's by John Scalzi, who I think is probably one of the best sci-fi writers of our modern age. He's awesome, entertaining, and so that's why I'm reading it.
Okay. What is one hobby you have that you think everyone should be doing?
I'm going to say yoga. I think everyone should do yoga. It's not only good for your body, but I think it's good for your mind and generates mindfulness and all those good things that help.
Love it.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea and why?
Oh, come on. Is that even a question? Coffee every day of the week.
Yes.
Three or four times a day.
for those who are listening, Mike and I actually go way back.
That's me slurping my coffee, by the way.
I actually reported to Mike way back in the day. We worked at the same company for many years, and we actually are co-founders in Culture Assassins Media Company. But for today, you know, I get the opportunity to interview Mike on the topic of human resources in crisis management. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd love to just jump right into the article. So the article was found on peoplemanagingpeople.com, and it's a good read, and it really just outlines, you know, what is crisis and goes through the whole process and even provides an outline of creating a crisis management plan. So for my sake, what is a crisis in crisis management?
Mm. Okay, so a crisis basically is anything that poses a serious threat to the health and future of a business's operations, finances, reputation, people, you know, any combination of any of those kinds of things. A lot of the article is written in the context of the current pandemic with COVID-19, which is, you know, the definition of crisis. It's affecting businesses are all around the world and affecting the health of those businesses. Kind of a few key characteristics of a crisis. Typically, they're going to be very high impact. Now, kind of level of impact is subjective. You know, a fire in a stockroom of a small business might be catastrophic versus, you know, a fire in a stockroom of a large multinational might probably not be considered a crisis. It's going to be low probability. Right. So it's not every day that an earthquake could collapse your building. It's not every day that there is a global pandemic that shuts down businesses all around the world. It's going to be unexpected. Right. So you might be able to plan for kind of the broad strokes of a crisis, for example, having kind of an earthquake preparedness plan. But the actual, you know, when that earthquake is going to hit, no one can necessarily predict. And then last thing, it's going to be unique. Right. So every earthquake is going to be unique. Every hurricane is going to be unique. Every virus is going to be unique. And kind of the last point is that crisis isn't the same as a disaster. There's actually a really good distinction made by the Louisiana State University. They say a disaster is a crisis with a bad ending. So that's kind of what a crisis is in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was reading the article and researching for the podcast, what came to mind is I hear people all the time saying that their life is a crisis, and it seems very dramatic. But you're saying that, you know, crisis is something that, you know, doesn't happen all the time. It's not something that is common. It may actually never happen.
Yeah, and it's subjective too, right? So it's all whatever you perceive the impact to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so in the intro, you know, I talked about crisis managing through a component shortage, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't an earthquake in our hometown, but it was an earthquake where a critical component was from. And, you know, did we have a plan around that? We didn't plan for that to happen, mm-hmm. but we had to scramble pretty quickly in order to prevent a terrible outcome from happening.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I'm curious, is there any other examples that come to mind from your career or that you've came across when researching to write this article?
Loads and loads of examples. I think, you know, the one that you and I were both a part of and you know, which I touched on in the article, and which was an earthquake in Japan that affected supply for our company. That was probably one of the biggest ones. But it can also be, you know, it can also be crises in leadership, right? So for example, you know, for the company that you and I worked for, when the former president left the company, that was a crisis, right? It was a crisis in leadership. And it had to be kind of managed through. So crisis doesn't have to be a natural disaster or a computer virus or whatever. It can just be some threat that to the business, that's hard to predict, hard to kind of plan for, and is going to have that big impact.
So hard to predict, hard to plan for, but have a big impact. Mm-hmm. And so can you Can you have a plan for any possible potential crisis that could come up? Is it worth to just sit there and brainstorm, you know, 100 different things and have 100 different plans? Or
it's a hard one. So I think kind of the core of crisis management is, yeah, you do need to spend, when it comes to the planning phase, you do need to spend a bit of time looking at possible or likely scenarios. So for example, you know, we're in Vancouver. The company you and I worked for, the main facility, manufacturing facility, is in Richmond, BC, and there's a fault line. We're right on a fault line. And so, you know, having some plans and having some level of preparation around an earthquake, for example, probably makes sense. Same thing as if you're a business in Florida, and your main operations are in Florida, and there's lots of hurricanes that hit Florida, probably a smart idea to have some plans in place for handling a hurricane. Mm-hmm. Versus, hey, you know, maybe earthquakes aren't as, you know, you don't really need to worry too much about earthquakes because they're just so unlikely, you know, it's just not going to happen. I would be very surprised if there was an organization, you know, in the world that had a plan for COVID-19, right? I think, you know, having a plan in place for a global pandemic is probably along the lines of planning for the zombie apocalypse, right? It's, you know, you can brainstorm no end to the potential, crises that can come into play, but you need to kind of whittle it down just for management or to be able to make it manageable to those, that small subset of ones that you think could actually take place.
I think that's great. And I think maybe we'll touch on that a little bit later. You don't necessarily have to go into the finite details of a plan, but you know, we've seen most organizations within a couple of days have to go from, you know, working in an office to working remotely.
Exactly.
And there's so many success stories that are coming out right now of companies being able to do that. So yeah, I'm curious, this article is written about human resources and crisis management. Mm-hmm. So is it specifically for an HR person to implement and lead? Or what if there is no HR person? Mm-hmm. So is it then, you know, the leader, or you just rock, paper, scissors to figure out who takes this on? Or, you know, let's walk through that a little bit.
Sure. So I mean, in general, the articles on people managing people are, they're really aimed at anyone in a leadership position. A lot of it is geared towards, say, human resources professionals. But it's also just in generally useful for leaders. So you imagine a lot of early stage or startup organizations, they might not even have an HR person, in which case, yeah, it's down to the founder or other leaders in the team to actually kind of champion this. You know, when you talk about crisis management really is about creating the plans and processes and the systems to handle a crisis and to, you know, ultimately to prevent the crisis from becoming a disaster, which is that crisis with a bad ending. But also to, you know, the goal of crisis management is to get the business back to normal operations as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And there's a number of frameworks kind of out there around how that kind of happens. Probably one of the most popular is from a guy named Ian Mitroff. I think it's Mitroff. And he kind of outlines six stages, which is, you know, essentially detection of crisis, preparation, containment, recovery from the crisis. And then he emphasizes a big part of it is the learning stage and kind of no fault learning. Okay, so we've gotten through the crisis, let's look back at it, let's not place blame and try to learn from it, and then from there you start to redesign the crisis management plan. So when it comes to HR's role in that crisis management planning, you know, they do a lot of the typical stuff that HR does, which is, okay, let's draw up a crisis management plan. HR will be the repository for that. They'll typically handle a lot of, or at least coordinate a lot of the training and development that happens. So, you know, if there's first aid training that needs to happen to be prepared for a crisis, what have you. And then they'll also do things like talent and succession planning, right? So a lot of crises, unfortunately, end with, you know, loss of life or you know, people being hurt and not able to do their job, in which case, okay, you need to have a succession plan and be prepared to kind of fill those holes. And human resources is often the place that or the team that does that. So in an organization that doesn't have HR, yeah, it's down to the leader or someone that they might designate as the leader of that kind of initiative.
I think that that's a great summary of you know, HR's role. It's a, you know, they're collecting data, maybe spearheading the planning process, and without a dedicated HR person, it's up to the leadership of an organization. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's not like, oh, let's create a plan and just put it in the closet beside the emergency kit and never look at it again.
Exactly. You know,
I think of the emergency kit in my house, and I opened it up a few days ago and realized, you know, all the food and water has expired years ago. And so it's just like your plan, you need to revisit it.
Sure.
You just don't put it aside and forget about it.
No, it's exactly right.
Yeah, and so you kind of touched on the model that you've highlighted in the article, mm-hmm. and in my trough, you know, the 6-stage model. So, you know, is that really the kind of a standard model to look at when you're putting together a good plan?
Yeah, no, I think it is, just because, I mean, when you kind of think about it, it just makes sense, right? And when you kind of look at it, everything, and again, it's a cycle, right? It's your kind of starts at detection and ends at that redesign of whatever your plans that you have in place are. And so it's a continuous cycle of doing that. Now, mm-hmm. as you said, though, you don't want to just wait for a crisis to happen before you maybe redesign your crisis management system and plans, right? You do want to make that part of a regular review, whether it's annually or quarterly or whatever it is that you do, but you do need to make sure that they are in place, right? I mean, the crises of, you know, natural disasters aside, the crises that businesses faced 50 years ago, there's going to be some different ones that are facing businesses today, right? It's, you know, you've got things like computer viruses and those kinds of things. And so mm-hmm. if you just kind of develop one and let it sit for years on end, yeah, the odds are that they're not going to be as relevant anymore. And then that's, you know, and that is part of HR's, you know, typically part of HR's role is as the kind of the repository for these types of plans to drive that kind of reexamination of the plans that you have. But the one thing I will say, though, is, you know, as any HR professional knows who's listening to this, you're not going to get very far if you don't have support of the top leadership in the organization, right? So you might have a bright idea, you know, after listening to this, you know, awesome podcast, hey, we should maybe do a crisis management plan, but you're not going to get very far unless you've got senior leadership buy-in to actually do that, because you need them to make it. Not only to draft the plans, but you need them when the crisis actually hits, right? You need them to be actually doing what they need to be doing.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think of organizations who, they appoint a team to spearhead it. And mm-hmm. it doesn't mean the team needs to work in a vacuum, in a silo on their own and brainstorm. It's going to other leaders in the organization and think, okay, well, you know, what would really hurt your aspect of the business, or what should we be planning for?
Right.
So, you know, I led a global sales team, and if everyone on the team left, quit mm-hmm. overnight, that would be a crisis.
Absolutely. Right?
We wouldn't be able to take orders, process orders, service our customers.
Exactly.
So we need to plan for that. We need to plan on, okay, maybe I should check the health of the organization. We need to be planning for training and development and have a healthy pipeline of up and comers. So, mm-hmm. That's that signal detection, and then the crisis preparation, prepare for something. And, you know, we never like to, you know, plan for the worst, but, you know, I think one thing that's come out of this global pandemic crisis is an increase of people creating wills, right?
Mm,
they're planning for a crisis,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. They're planning for disaster, yeah, which is
totally,
that bad ending, yeah.
Great. And it's, there's no likely, there's a very slim likelihood of anything happening, but it's getting prepared. Mm-hmm. And then the containment of it. Are we containing that crisis, or is it going to affect all parts of the business, and how are we going to recover? But number five is no fault learning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's key. I've been part of teams and organizations where, you know, there's fingers, you know, pointing, mm-hmm. and somebody has to, head has to be chopped off. But you know, no fault learning is really okay. You know, where did we potentially go wrong? What could we have learned, done better? And then redesign.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, taking this plan and putting a plan together allows organizations to pivot. Mm-hmm. You know, if something happens, let's say the industry you're operating in completely changes, mm-hmm. you know, in a very short time, it could allow you to pivot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, what do you want to bet that at least one company in the world is now thinking about a crisis management plan for handling a global pandemic, right? I think it's that's part of the redesign, right? It might not have been on the radar of a lot of companies, but I'm sure it is now.
And so, you know, I think it brings up at least an interesting point in my mind that so if you know HR or senior leaders kind of putting this together, I'm curious about, you know, the role. So a crisis is happening. Mm-hmm. What do we then do?
Right. And so, I mean, that's where kind of having a crisis management plan put together, that's where that becomes important. And a crisis management plan, it's going to be a bit different than say like a disaster recovery plan, right? Those two things are elements of kind of the broader business continuity planning that a lot of organizations do. With a crisis management plan, really what you're outlining are a few key things. One is, first and foremost, is who is the crisis management team, right? And so these are the individuals who are typically going to represent kind of core areas of the business, whether it's human resources, IT, legal, public relations, what have you. And from there, once you've got that team, those are the folks who are going to shepherd it along, right? They're the ones who are going to do the quarterly or annual reviews. And a really, really important part of that is you want to have someone on the team, at least one sort of senior leadership executive member on the team, right? You want to have, whether it's the CEO or COO or whoever, but you want to have some sort of executive representation on the team. Second big part of a crisis management plan, roles and responsibilities. Okay, so what is each person responsible for? What are their teams responsible for in the midst of a crisis? And then the last thing is, what do some of those high level processes and procedures look like? Now, this is not, you know, you don't want to say, okay, in the case of an earthquake, here is the 45-page manual step-by-step on how to deal with this. It's just not practical. And the reason it's not practical is because, again, when you look back at what the definition of a crisis is, it's not only low probability, but it's also unique, right? So every earthquake is going to be different. Every hurricane is different. Every fire, computer virus, whatever it is going to be different. And so it doesn't make sense to document with great detail how to handle each one of those, because mm-hmm. ultimately at the end of the day, every crisis management plan has to allow for adaptability and flexibility in the plan to basically respond to the unique elements of that crisis.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, I read and speak and write in bullet point. And so very simple.
Yeah, pictures are always good. You know, there was one example, I can't remember the company or what it was, but it was about a company that had it was like a 20-page manual on how to handle a fire or something like that. And they distilled that down to like a 2-page infographic with pictures that was way easier to follow. And you know, was way more, you know, manageable by people who are dealing with a crisis.
Yeah, keep it simple. Don't have 16 levels of signing authority that, you know, we need to collect all 16 signatures before we move ahead with something. Mm-hmm. But be adaptable. And so, you know, I think, you know, a big takeaway for me is, you know, have a plan, you know, don't necessarily overthink it, mm-hmm. but, and be adaptable to it. So, you know, I think as we look to kind of wrap up, I'm really curious, you know, what's one piece of advice you can offer to a leader who may be thinking they have it under control? They have everything under control. They may not need to plan. You know, maybe you have a specific example you can share and yeah.
Right. Love to hear your thoughts. Well, I think, you know, so a couple things. One is, you know, it depends on who you are and your role in the organization. If you're the CEO, then you probably have more control than say an HR manager in a 5,000 person organization. So control is going to be really relative to who you are and the level of control you can have in a situation, and which can include everything from, hey, I've got decision making power, I've got spending authority, I've got budget to spend money in during a crisis. So those are some of the things that are going to impact that control. And if you think you can control every situation, that's very unlikely. What you can control is you can control your reactions to the situation, right? You can control how you're going to adapt and react to whatever unique crisis life throws your way. Right. And that's that's where I would, when you think about control, kind of give up on controlling a crisis from happening necessarily, because again, these are low probability. They're unexpected. They're unique, and focus more on, okay, how can we control our actions and reactions when a crisis does actually hit?
Yeah. It's, control is such a broad term and broad word. And so I like that, you know, piece of advice, you know, you can control your reaction and how you show up as a leader, whether you are in an HR department or whether you're, you know, a solopreneur who may need to pivot, or maybe you're leading a small team, you know, you can control your reaction. So that's a great piece of advice.
Yeah. And just one last thing, you know, we're seeing that too. With COVID-19, we're seeing lots of leaders controlling their reactions, right? A lot of, you know, especially for businesses that are having to shut their doors, you know, the instant reaction is, well, we're not making any money, so we need to stop spending money. And what we're seeing is a lot of businesses do the opposite, which is continuing to spend money, continuing to pay their people, despite not having that revenue coming in. And those are great examples of leaders controlling their reaction to the crisis, with the eye again of my goal as a crisis manager or as a leader is to get us through this and back to normal operations as quickly as we can. And a lot of these leaders realize that, well, if we maintain the trust of our people, if we keep our people engaged with the business, when we do get through this crisis, we're going to be able to get back to normal operations quicker than our competitors. I think one of my favorite examples is the Delta Airlines CEO. I can't recall his name now. He took 100% pay cut, right? And that was kind of to reflect his solidarity with the people in his organization, and again, control his reaction to what's happening.
Yeah, it's, I think coming out of a crisis and a global crisis will really shape the landscape of business. Mm-hmm. And we're going to reflect back on, you know, how did we handle this in a no fault way? And I was reading a post on social media this morning about a young person who is going to be entering the job market in the next year or so. And she was saying, you know, the question she's going to be asking in the interview is, how did your company support your people through COVID-19?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? That's a great question. That's an awesome question.
It's a great question, and it's a fascinating question. And I think as leaders in business and in organizations, we need to be thinking about this, not just from a PR perspective, but do our actions reflect how we will be getting through this, mm-hmm. and are they building trust?
Exactly. And the answer may not be, well, you know, we continue to just pay everyone, because a lot of businesses can't afford to do that. They just can't afford to do that. But there are other ways that you can support your people through it. And whether it's, you know, helping them find other work or, you know, whatever it is. I think that's a stellar question. That's something, you know, every person should ask a prospective new employer going forward.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's, you know, if you're not looking for a new role, and maybe you will be hiring on the other side of this pandemic, think about that question, mm-hmm. you know, and reflect on that question. And if you don't like the answer, then, you know, if this happens again, right, a crisis isn't something that is predictable or comes often, but just think about it and think about, you know, how could we have handled things better or different, or are we happy with the way we've handled this? Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that, I want to thank you, Mike, and
you.
I'm sure we'll have you on again. I think it's the article found on peoplemanagingpeople.com really outlines the plan. And so head there, take a look, and also, you know, we'd love to hear your feedback on the article as well as the content that is being curated there. So with that, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment, ask a question, shoot me a note. We'd love to cover any topic that's on your mind with regards to managing people. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.